your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 20. Two weeks ago, and thanks to James, and has James gone back or gone up to Mass yet? Okay, very good. We'll be happy to see him. Thanks to James for filling in for me last Sunday and Leanna for filling in for me last Wednesday. Amen. Praise God. But 2 weeks ago, we're talking about loving God, and we've talked about an important dynamic of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is love. And one of the ways God illustrates the love that he has for us, and the love in turn that we are to have for him, is to compare our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to that of a marriage relationship. According to Scripture, Jesus Christ is our bridegroom, and we are his bride. Scripture says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 that husbands are to love their wives even as what? As Christ loves the church. And because he loves us so much, and he demonstrated that love by giving his life on Calvary, on the cross for our sins, we sang about that this morning so wonderfully and so beautifully, God in turn asks that if we have received his love, to reflect or return that love to him. And we talked about that the last time that we were together 2 weeks ago, how our responsibility in this love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is to love him not with some things or some of our heart, not even with most of our heart, but to love God adequately, we must love him with all of our hearts. And this morning, we're going to continue to talk about this love relationship that we're to have with Jesus. Last time we talked about how it is important for us to love God with everything. And this morning we're going to look at things in his perspective, especially when we don't love him the way that we should love him. You know, husbands are to love their wives and wives are to love their husbands, and they're to love them in a certain way, a special way, a unique way. The love between a husband and wife is different than any other love that there is on planet Earth, other than the love that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's different than love for a friend. It's different than love for a parent or a sibling. It's even different than love that you might have for your children. God describes it this way, both in the Old and the New Testament, that when husband and wife come together, they become one. And isn't that the call of the Lord Jesus Christ upon his church? Thinking of John chapter 17, oh, that my children would be one even as I and the Father am one. God wants us to be one with each other and one with him in love. And when we don't love God the way that we should, with everything, heart, mind, and spirit, and body for that matter, then we provoke in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ the same thing that an unfaithful spouse provokes in their wife or husband, and that is jealousy. Our text this morning is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. It's a familiar portion of Scripture. It's the beginning of the Ten Commandments. And let's listen to the words of God and the commands of God towards his people and the heart of God in this love relationship that he has with them. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the love of Jesus, the presence of God, and the love of Jesus Christ in this place. God, we pray this morning as we look to the Word of God that your Holy Spirit would just speak to us through this precious Word. God, I pray that your anointing would be upon this speaker, that you would give me strength of body, mind, and spirit, that I may be able to communicate what you would have us to hear today. And God, that you would give us all ears that would just receive everything, every truth that you have for us through your Word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. As we mentioned just a few moments ago, we're talking about the love relationship that we have with God. And in thinking of our relationship with Jesus like as a love relationship, it helps us understand many of the wonderful attributes of God. Many of the wonderful qualities about God that makes God who He is and draws us closer to Him. And there are so many attributes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some in our lives inspire awe. You know, think of the holiness of God. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, there have been times that I've been in prayer and I can just sense how holy God is. And I just don't want to move because I just feel, you know, just the greatness of His holiness, how holy God is and how unholy I am not, even though I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and I'm made holy. Or when we think about the might and the power of God, you know, we read those stories from both the Old and the New Testament of God demonstrating His power in a great way, or even seeing His power. You know, seeing a miraculous answer to prayer, whether, you know, it's divine healing in your body or maybe some kind of provision in your life. God just does so many wonderful things. Other aspects of the attributes of God inspire within us adoration and praise. You know, I think of forgiveness. How, despite how sinful I have been in my life, well, were you a thief? Were you a robber? Were you a murderer? Well, no, I was really none of those things, at least not in my body. But come to think of it, in my heart I was. But despite my unfaithfulness to God, God never stopped loving me. And every time I have come to Christ with my sin and confessed them before Him, He's always forgiven and restored my relationship with Him. He's always been a God who has extended mercy, grace, compassion in my life. And that just makes me feel so wonderful and fills me with such a heart of gratitude. But there are other aspects of God, other attributes or qualities of God that are somewhat puzzling, if not troubling. And one of these puzzling, troubling qualities is one that we're going to look at this morning. And the interesting thing about that is it comes out of God's love for us. You know, when we think, especially when we think of the love of God, we think of just, you know, flowers and butterflies and rainbows and, you know, all birds singing and all those things. But love is more than that. When we think of love, and I think especially it's not just love in a marriage relationship, it's also loving your children or your parents or friends. Love is hard work. Love, especially when we think of the love of Jesus, a love that we have not only received, but a love that we are to extend, is something that extends itself to someone even when it's undeserving. It's that agape love. It loves in spite of ugliness. And as Dr. Dobson wrote in his book, sometimes love is tough. Love can be harsh. And the reason that love sometimes is harsh is because it needs to be harsh. That sometimes when we're moved out of love to be harsh and we refuse to do it because we don't want to hurt or offend, we're actually being unloving. And here this is not only in the book of Exodus, but it's alluded to also in the New Testament in the writings of Paul. We have one of the tough aspects of the love of God. And that is His jealous nature. Reading once again verse 3 in Exodus 20. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Now, for those of us who have been in church for a while and studied the Ten Commandments, because, you know, one of the first things you learn in Sunday school is the Ten Commandments. You know, we read through it. Sometimes when we read through things, a lot of times they kind of lose the depth and the full power and force of those words. And I think that word jealous, and the aspect or the truth that God is a jealous God, sometimes we don't really think about or conceive of the depth of that or what that really means as far as our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we think of jealousy, we usually don't think of that being in a positive sense. We usually don't think of that in a positive sense for two reasons. Number one, jealousy is a sin. In fact, you read in many scriptures, and I'll just share one from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Whenever jealousy is brought up in as far as the life of a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's always referred to as a sin, as something bad, as something you shouldn't do. In fact, Paul writes about it in 2 Corinthians 12:20. I'm afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. Now, this is a pretty powerful scripture, and it's a very sobering scripture, because it lists out for us some very insidious sins. And you might say, well, why are these sins insidious as opposed to other sins? And not that other sins aren't. But these sins are especially dangerous because they're sins that just fit so nicely within the body of Christ. Lying, gossip, slander, arrogance, pride, disorder. And I believe one of the things that motivates people to being factious, quarreling, arrogant, disorderly, slander, gossip, all these terrible, terrible, terrible things, is that of jealousy, of being jealous of other people. And I have to admit, as a believer, that I have struggled with jealousy. I've come in here on a Sunday morning and I've seen Henry stand up here with his guitar, and I looked at him and in my heart I said, boy, I wish I had white flowing hair just like Henry Nidusky. But you know what I'm saying? And there it is, folks, in all its glory. But you know what I'm saying? We look at one another and we're jealous, we're envious of what God is doing in their lives, or the things that God has blessed them with, or how God is using them for His glory. And it only moves us to bad things. And here, God, in the book of Exodus chapter 20, in laying out the Ten Commandments, says, I am a jealous God. I am committing something that I don't want part of you. And then when we think of jealousy, especially in the dynamic of the marriage relationship, specifically the husband, because when you think of jealousy, it's normally, a wife can be jealous, but it's normally a husband. The wife, or the object of a husband's jealousy, lives a life of misery and fear. You know, we are the bride of Christ, and when someone says that their husband is jealous, what kind of images, what kind of thoughts about that husband and wife, the type of life that that wife lives in, what kind of images does that put in your mind? For me, it's a life of horror, a life of walking on eggshells, a life of bondage, which marriage is not meant to be bondage. Marriage is meant to be free and liberating, just like our relationship with Christ, which we'll talk about as we go on. But the spouse of a jealous husband lives their life in constant fear, afraid to speak with anyone because their husband might get upset, afraid to make a move without their husband's approval, always being criticized because that, you know, and the thing about a jealous person, you know, someone who's jealous and not loving, they don't really love that person. They're using that person for their own fulfillment and their own gratification. And because of that, that person is never whom they expect to be. And they're always trying to change and make that person to what they want instead of who that person is. That's not what love is, but that's what life is for a wife of a jealous husband. The qualities of a jealous husband can be described as this: controlling. They always want to know where you are, what you're doing, who you're talking to. Possessive and critical. You're never good enough. You never dress right. You never look right. You never say the right thing. You never do the right thing. You never go the right place. And they use the weapons. And there should be no weapons in marriage. Amen. They use the weapons of intimidation and fear to manipulate their bride into being the person that they want them to be. Using threats, fits, yelling, screaming, manipulation, or even violence to get their own way. But relating to our relationship with Christ, we are the bride of Christ. And here we're reading in Scripture that the God we serve is a jealous God. And so when we read this and we think of man's jealousy, and we think how jealousy is a sin and how jealousy moves people to do evil things, and we read Scriptures that God is a jealous God, what does that do to our mental image, our spiritual image of who God is? Is God a God who's prone to fits? Who is a constant overbearing presence in our lives? But listen, two things. Let me say two things about it. Number one, as far as the husband and wife relationship, that's not what God has intended marriage to be. Never once at any time has God intended a man to bully a woman, or in some cases a woman to bully a man. That's not love, and that's not marriage. And even more than that, that's not how God wants us to live in our relationship with Him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 reads, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not perfect in love." To live under fear and intimidation is to misunderstand the nature of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is that of grace and mercy. If God is a jealous God, then therefore, and He is a jealous God, then His jealousy must be different from what we think jealousy is. His jealousy must be a perfect jealousy. And we know it's perfect because His love is perfect. So we're going to take some time to talk about that this morning. And I think it's important that we do take time to talk about this aspect of God, His jealous nature. Number one, so that we're not fearful of God. Because a lot of people understand that God is a jealous God, and there are to be no other gods before Him. But as a believer, we're not to live under fear of that. And secondly, we need to know not only for ourselves, but we also need to know as far as our testimony and our witness, to be able to share Jesus Christ correctly with other people and not give people the wrong impression of who the Lord Jesus Christ truly is. So let's begin this morning by asking or answering the question, what is jealousy? And of course, Webster describes it as an unhappy or angry feeling caused by the belief that someone you love, especially, you know, romantically, likes or is liked by someone else. I think anyone who's ever had feelings for anyone, and it's not always in the husband and wife relationship, it could be towards children. I won't ask for a show of hands. But just mentally, how many siblings have ever been jealous of another sibling? And I think all siblings can raise their hands. You understand what that's all about. And why are you jealous? Because you think mom and dad are more favorable to this person than they are to you, which they may or may not be. Definitely, it does appear that way sometime. And as far as that word jealous, in the original biblical languages of Hebrew and Greek, it basically means the same thing. It means to be passionately moved by feelings for someone or something. But it's always in a negative sense. It's a passion that is offended, so that passion is moved towards anger. And this is what God is communicating as far as an aspect of His love towards us. That He loves us so much that if we, again, referring to the message that we shared a couple weeks ago, if we love Him with less than everything, we provoke Him to these feelings of jealousy. Now, you might be wondering why God feels this way, and these feelings of jealousy are unique to a certain group of people. And the group of people that God's jealous feelings are for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are you and me. Now, why would God reserve only certain feelings, especially this feeling, for only a certain group of people, and of all people, us? We're the people who have received Him by grace through faith. We're the people who are going to church. We're the people who are paying our tithes. We're the people who are praying. We're the people who are doing things. God should cut us a little slack. But it seems like from Scripture, if we really look at Scripture and really look at the dynamics of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to Jesus, the expectations of God upon your life increase. And when we don't love God with everything that we got, we then move Him to feelings of jealousy and anger. And there's a reason for that. And that's the nature of our relationship with Jesus Christ, that marriage relationship or that covenant relationship. You know, when you accept Christ as Savior, it's just like getting married to someone. You know, and I know our society has denigrated in many ways the institution of marriage with, you know, no-fault divorce. And now with redefining marriage as far as you can marry anyone or any, soon or probably anything you want. You want to marry a tree, go ahead. I don't mean to be facetious, but that's where we're headed. I mean that in all seriousness. But marriage is a solemn commitment that you make to another person in the eyes of God. And there's an understanding if, unless, a foolhardy, you hear the stories of the foolhardy person jumping in a car and running out to Las Vegas on a weekend, and getting married, not really thinking about it. But most people who enter into this marriage relationship understand that I'm making a commitment to this person. And now, I not only expect things from them, they are well within their rights to expect things from me. And that's what happens when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You come into a covenant relationship with Him. And when you come into this covenant relationship with Jesus, there are things, there are expectations, new expectations now that you can have as far as from God. You can and should fully expect eternal life. You can and should fully expect forgiveness of sins. You can and should fully expect God to provide all your needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And on we can go. We can expect these things from Jesus because these are things that God has promised to those who love Him. The promises of God are yes and amen. But there are also expectations upon us. And that is what we talked about 2 weeks ago, that we will love God with everything that we have, heart, mind, body, and spirit. And so God expects this because believers have accepted His love. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, you are committed, therefore, to love and worship Jesus with all your heart, mind, and soul. And so, and listen. And what it, not to re-preach the last sermon I shared. But when we don't love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, that means we're loving something else over Him. People do it all the time. They have think of the old times. It's probably the same time. Well, actually, it is now. Unfortunately, if you read the news, especially with NBA owners, they have their spouse and then they have women on the side. They divide their love and attention. That's definitely not what God had intended marriage to be. But don't we do the same thing spiritually to the Lord Jesus Christ? We give Him our token, and we love God, but we give Him our token love, but we love something else more than Him. Yeah. I love my job, or I love my hobby, or I love money more. That's where my heart, I love You, God, but I really love those things. And so when we love someone or something more than God, it provokes jealousy in the Lord. And this jealousy comes out of God's love for us. In fact, jealousy, although it's unbecoming in us as believers towards other people, in a love relationship, especially this love relationship, just like it is in a marriage, a little jealousy is actually a healthy thing and a good thing. There are times that spouses, especially when someone tries to encroach upon their marriage, they need to fight for their spouse and not give up on their spouses. And, having pastored for a number of years, I've been through some marital crises with several couples, and in some instances, where one wanted to leave but another didn't. The one person who still wanted to maintain that marriage covenant had to fight for it. And yes, they got angry when their spouse stepped out on them. But the anger that they had wasn't driving them away from their spouse or moving them to give up on their spouse. It was moving them to even more, in a greater way, passionately pursue their spouse. You know, I'd be worried about the husband or the wife who's apathetic of their spouse spending time with another man or woman, even in a platonic way. You know, if someone's making time to, you know, talk, and you know, nowadays, and one of the worst things that have happened, you know, I guess from what, if what I hear is correct, one of the worst things that have happened to marriage is, you know, Facebook and texting and all this stuff where people are able to have covert relationships online without anyone knowing about it. It seems silly, but there have been Facebook has destroyed a lot of marriages. But the husband who's apathetic about his wife spending time with other people, what is he saying? You know, do what you want to do. He's saying he doesn't care about her. And he's saying also that he does not value or cherish his love. I'd be worried about God if he didn't show any zeal or jealousness if my heart was diverted to someone or something else. But God's jealousy is not the jealousy that mankind demonstrates in their relationships with one another. It's a perfect jealousy. Four qualities I'd like to share with you quickly this morning. Number one, the jealousy of God is liberating, not controlling. As we mentioned earlier, a jealous husband wants to micromanage his wife's life. Where are you going? What are you doing? Who are you talking to? How long were you there? And that type of life, a suppressed life, is a life of misery. In fact, I think, you know, one of the worst things that a jealous husband can have is a cell phone, because I don't know if you've ever seen it. They're always calling and checking up on their spouse to find out what they're doing. What is an essential need of the human spirit? I dare say, love obviously is a need. But also, and I think this is actually part of love, there's that of freedom. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ died so that we can enjoy in our lives? Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And God, even though he's a jealous God, and even though he will tolerate us loving and worshiping no one other than him, will always allow us to live in freedom. I think Revelation chapter 22 puts it so well. Verse 17 reads, "The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." God wants all mankind. He wants to be in relationship with them. But he wants it based on love and freedom, not fear and domination. Why? There's three things that God wants from us. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Faith, hope, and the greatest of these, which is love. And manipulation or control is not love. Secondly, the jealousy of God is accepting and not possessive or critical. As I mentioned earlier, a possessive husband is excessively critical. Their wives never measure up to who they think they should be, and so the wives never feel like they ever measure up. And sometimes we feel that way regarding God, and that's not how God wants us to feel in our relationship with Him. Now, I want to be careful here. Yes, it is true that God wants us to be conformed to His image, to become more like Him in every way. But let me tell you what God has not called us to become, and that's spiritual robots. You know, I love Jesus. Completely void of the unique person that God created within us. When the transforming power of the Holy Spirit comes in our lives, it doesn't change us all into the same person. What it does, it takes away the sin and the weakness and restores it with His righteousness, with His power, with His strength and His might, but leaves all the beautiful things that God put in us as unique creations in the eyes of God, not only intact, but better. I think a good thing that illustrates this is the life of the apostles. The Apostle Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Say, imitate the Christ things in me. And I don't think he was just saying, you know, don't do the things that I fail God in. He's also saying, don't become another Paul. Be who God has created you to be. You know, I think there are many people who are very frustrated in their lives because they're not trying to be whom God has created them to be. They're trying to be like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And because of that, they become very frustrated in their relationship with Jesus. Let me explain that by just sharing from my own perspective as a pastor. You know, we all want to be, all pastors want to be great preachers. You know, we all want to be the next Billy Graham and so on and so forth. And this day and age, there's access to so many wonderful preachers or, you know, communicators of the gospel, whatever you want to call them. And it is tempting when you see someone, especially someone who's just so effective in preaching the gospel, to try to pattern yourself after them, to become the next Billy Graham or, you know, some people like Francis Chan or, you know, some, put in whomever, you know, great speaker there is. But I have found, and I have to remind myself, that the only way that I'm going to be an effective preacher for the gospel, and I will never be a Billy Graham, and I don't want to be a Billy Graham, is for me to be Randy Shabilo when I preach the gospel. And that's where we need to be in Christ. You don't need to be a Pastor Randy or a Sister Leanna or a Billy Graham or any of those people. God wants you to be who He has created you to be. He just will take away all the junk and the weakness in your life and restore it with His grace. That's love. It's not controlling. It's not intimidating. I haven't got there yet. It's not possessive and critical. It's liberating. Thirdly, the jealousy of God is uplifting and not intimidating. One of the most beloved Psalms is Psalm chapter 3, and verse 3 reads, "But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head." God does not, but many people live this way. God is not, and does not want in any way to intimidate you into serving Jesus. Serving God out of guilt, shame, and fear. "Well, you better serve me today. You better spend X amount of time in prayer today. You better spend X amount of time in scripture today. You better witness to 12 people today. You better be involved in this. You better do this. And if you don't, bad things are coming your way." That's not the way, that's not the gospel. That's not living for Jesus, but that's a lot of, many times the way people think and the way people live in their relationship with Jesus. or I better do this, or God's going to start hurling lightning bolts at me. I won't ask for a show of hands, but have you ever felt that way? I know I have. Let me tell you, I'm not saying that the gospel is soft and there aren't harsh consequences to living in sin, especially eternal consequences. There is. But let me tell you, the crux of the gospel is a positive message and not a message of fear, or an uplifting message and not a message of fear and intimidation. We all know that Jesus talked more about hell than anyone, and many people have said that. You read it through Scripture and it's true. But although he did clearly teach about eternal punishment, he did not dwell on it in his ministry. We read Luke chapter 4, verse 18, in the onset of his ministry, he described his ministry as this: good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, encouragement of sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed. Basically, the message of the gospel and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is that of grace. How your life will be so much better if you come to me and receive my gift of love and come in this covenant relationship with me. Why? Because love and fear do not coexist. Fear will drive people. But how did God, Lord Jesus Christ, by example, when he walked this earth, how did he get people to follow him, specifically his disciples, because that's what you and I are called to be? Did he walk up to Peter, James, and John and said, listen, see this cat and nine tails I just beat up, you know, the money changers in the temple? If you don't follow me, you're next. He simply went up to them and follow me, and I will make you what? Fishers of men. I'll make your life fruitful. I'll use you. I'll give you a plan. I'll give you a purpose. The jealousy of God is uplifting, not intimidating. Does that mean that there are no aspects, negative aspects of God's jealousy? Not at all. Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6 says, have you forgotten the word? Listen, this is interesting, and I know I'm long this morning, but forgive me, I haven't preached in over a week, so I got to get it all out. Have you forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons? My sons, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. This is a verse that discusses God's discipline, and the writer of Hebrews describes it as a word of encouragement. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6. The jealous love of God moves him to unpleasantness. But it's not a blind fit of rage where God just pours out all of his wrath upon you to make you suffer because you've hurt him so badly. It's unpleasantness, and sometimes severe unpleasantness. It's because he loves you so much with purpose to bring you back to that loving relationship with him. The jealousy of God is something that man's jealousy has absolutely nothing of, and that is redemption, because it's loving. It comes out of a heart of love. And lastly, the jealousy of God is comforting, not frightening. It is a demonstration of God's love. How many realize, we all need to realize, and this is my last point, that the love of God is more than just an idea. It's something real. Romans 5:8 says God what demonstrates his love. Present tense. He demonstrated it on Calvary. And he still demonstrates it today. It's not just a concept. And when God, out of jealousy, allows unpleasantness to come into your life with a redemptive purpose, what is it showing? It shows he loves us. It shows he cares for us. God wants us to know that He cares for you as an individual who's serving Jesus. God wants to know that He cares about the Norwich Assembly of God Church, this local church body. He doesn't want to see this body drift away from the Lord. And because He loves us, and because He has this jealous nature, He is always watching over us. You know, funny thing about people we love watching over us. We don't want them watching over us. And a good example of this is my daughter, Caitlin. I remember first day I brought her to kindergarten, I walked her to her class because she was four or five. It's right before we came here. And she said, she said something to the fact that you don't have to walk me to class tomorrow. I said, I know I don't have to, but I am going to walk you to class tomorrow. She didn't want me, you know, obviously she didn't want her father, you know, walking her, even at this young age. And she's not here today. She's recovering from the week, so I can talk about her. Hopefully she won't listen to the message. Maybe she will. I don't know. But, you know, kids don't want their parents watching them, do they? Unless they're in trouble. And then all of a sudden, where were you? And it's the same as far as our relationship with God. You know, we want to be free to do whatever we want. It's usually those dark things, secret things. You know, men love darkness rather than light to hide their evil deeds. But isn't it comforting to know when we're in a tight spot that God is watching over us? That's part of His jealous nature. He's jealous for us. He cares for us. And He's watching with His purpose to make sure that we do not stray and therefore put our eternal souls in jeopardy. And this should be not a fearful aspect of our relationship. This should be comforting because we know that because He is watching over us, because He cares about us, He loves us, He is jealous for us, He will intervene when we stray into the arms of another lover or an idol. Because there's only one outcome to loving someone or something other than God, and that's death and destruction. I guess it's two outcomes. Reasons that I shared last week: idols are deaf, blind, dumb, powerless, and so they lead to ruin. But because God desires us, and God is God and is owed our full love and of adoration and worship, the jealous nature of God will intervene in our lives in such a way, a correct way, with just the right amount of love, tenderness, but also unpleasantness, to bring us back into that right relationship with Him. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning. Listen, we talked about the negative aspects of jealousy, even in the heart of God. How, when our hearts stray from the Lord Jesus Christ, how in His jealousy and in His righteous anger, God might be moved to unpleasantness towards us. But the jealousy of God also moves Him to blessing as well. I don't know about you, but there have been people who have provoked me to jealousy with my wife in that they've done something good, or maybe I didn't. And instead of saying, "Why'd you take that from her?" you know, getting all upset with him about that, it moved me to do something good for her. And think to myself, well, maybe I should be doing these things and not some stranger or some other person. I should be the one that's blessing her. Because God is jealous for us, not only will He intervene in an unpleasant manner at times to bring us back into a right relationship with Him, but He'll also consistently move and minister to us in such a way that we feel His intense love. The blessings of God, which are without number, and the ministry of His word and of His Spirit, of the presence of God, with which there is no equal. There is nothing that compares with the ministry of God's presence in a person's life. Nothing. And God continues to pour that out on our lives because He's jealous for us and wants us to live closely with Him and to love Him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to sing that chorus. Because when we think of the jealousy of God, this is what our minds should be brought to. That He's jealous for us because He loves us, and I should be comforted by that. So in closing this morning, let's sing that with our hearts and minds this morning. Oh, how He loves, in Jesus' name.